What's up, you guys? Welcome to our first official episode with a guest. Today, I am joined with my sister, Eva.
Hi.
Also, she goes by Eva Grace on YouTube. You have 11 point, how many? 11.6K subscribers. So today, we're going to get into YouTube along with just some other things. For those of you unfamiliar with Eva, she makes like YouTube videos. They're geared more to like teen girls, I would say. Like I said, she has 11.6K subscribers.
I don't know. It could be more, could be less. I don't really check it that often, honestly.
Yeah, but somewhere around there. So today she's going to talk to us a little bit about YouTube and kind personal of what life. It's like to be a YouTuber. Also some things about her personal life and just some stuff she likes to do for fun. So since this is going to be our first episode with the guests, you guys wouldn't know this by now, but the icebreaker question I'm going to ask all of my guests to kind of get us warmed up into the episode is, what is the most awkward thing that has ever happened to you? But the problem with this guest is that she is literally not awkward. Like, I don't think she's ever done an awkward thing in her entire life.
Yeah. Okay. Also, we already filmed this episode and some of the audio didn't work out. So if like we're laughing at random parts, it's because like we've already kind of talked about it, but we're having to retalk about it to make like the audio good this time. But anyway, I was telling her that I have awkward moments just like any other person, but I don't like react to them in an awkward way or respond to them in a way that is awkward, if that makes sense. So yeah. I have like awkward moments, like awkward things happen that like usually other people it would be awkward to them, but like I don't react to it in a way that makes it awkward.
I do like an awkward thing every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like I probably have an awkward story for like 300 episodes, so we're never gonna run out of that for me.
Yeah.
Okay, so also another question, since you can't really answer that one, I have two more for you. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love me?
Okay, so I love you 10 because
because you're my sister and you have to.
But it depends on the day how much I like you.
Like on a scale of 1 to 10 every
on
day.
On a scale of 1 to 10 how much would you every day? Well, it depends each day, but usually it's like I would put it at an 8 how much I like you. Mainly that's just because you never let me use the laptop.
Yeah, because it's my laptop and Eva thinks it's like both of ours and it's not. And she edits all of her YouTube videos on my laptop. And also, she puts all of her YouTube footage in my laptop, so I never have any storage. So it's literally my computer, and you get mad at me for not letting you use it, even though it's mine, and you take up all of my storage. Okay, whatever. Let's get into the actual part of the episode. So before we get into YouTube and stuff, do you kind of want to talk about kind of how you came to Jesus or how your faith impacts your YouTube channel in general? Because that's kind of what the podcast is going to be about. Okay. Like what you're learning
in the moment right now. Well, I want to tell like my testimony of like a child.
I don't really know your testimony, to be honest. I think you've told it to me like
Brooke,
one time.
You were literally like a witness of it. Remember
you're gonna have to tell me because I literally don't remember.
Okay, well, here's my testimony for everybody who's wondering. So me and my brother had gotten into a fight. I don't even remember what it was about. Probably just something childish, but I remember it like made me cry. I don't even know what it was about, but it just made me cry. And then I went upstairs to my room and started listening to Christian music on my little iPod thing.
When we say iPod, it was like this little orange
iPod
square.
Touch.
There was the iPod Touch?
Yeah.
Or the little square thing?
No, it was my Touch.
We had was it the hot pink one or was it like the
I
first
had a
one?
Hot pink iPod.
If you know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We treated them like they were phones. We would literally go to the store and be like.
Anyway, so I turned my music on that and I don't know, I guess like I just kind of got saved there.
You know what's crazy?
What?
I just thought of this. Me and Ju both got kind of saved by music.
By music, yeah.
Because I literally heard like lyrics to a song
and
that's how I got saved and like you turned
it
on.
It definitely makes
music.
Sense for me though since I'm so like trying to
also talk Eva's a musician too on top of like YouTube. She doesn't perform anywhere, but
I used to perform. I actually went on America's Got Talent and I started with ukulele and that, I don't know, I just grew out of that, but now I play guitar and I really like it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that happened and I was too nervous to like tell anybody. And so what I did, it's hanging in the hallway. I wrote you this note. We hung it up in like a frame because I guess it was cute or whatever. But I wrote Brooke this note. She was like in the playroom playing with something. And so I wrote her this long note about like how I had just gotten saved. And I ran into the playroom and like threw it at her and ran out.
I actually do remember that. You literally just ran in there and threw it at me and then you ran out immediately.
Yeah, I just like ran out and it was so funny. And I just sat in my room and then I remember Brooke, I guess she had read it and she came in my room. She's like, is this true? And I was like, yeah. And so then we went and told mom. She was like in the shower when it happened. So we went and told mom and like she was crying, whatever. And then we called dad and told him. And yeah, that was basically like how I got saved.
Just threw a paper
over. Yeah, I just threw a paper at Brooke.
That's so funny.
But like I guess for recently, like how my faith has been getting stronger. Like we have grown up in like a good Christian household, so it's I've never really had anything like bad happen that was like some great. And also like
we're homeschooled.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like we aren't surrounded with bad influences all the time. I mean,
we've had our fair share of exposure, but
yeah, certain friends are a little toxic, but we're not going to get into that.
But anyway, neither of us have had like some great, just, like, you know, oh, I was living in sin and then, you know, I came out. But I mean, any testimony is a testimony. But anyway, like, I've always, I guess, been pretty strong in the faith. But like beginning of 2020 up to like summer of 2020, I was like, I guess, strong. But I didn't read my Bible or I didn't like do anything. You just kind of went
through the motions.
Yeah, like, I didn't like do anything to actually grow. I just kind of, you know, prayed at night, prayed before my meals. And like, you know, I just wasn't putting in the effort. But then I started to, and
you started to what? Like read
your Bible? I just started to like live it out. Oh, you know what I mean? And also, I just want to like shout them out. People who influenced it, my YouTube friends, those are probably like the people who helped me most like to...
Wait, you want me to put like their usernames in the show notes?
They were the people who like, you know, influenced me most to start, you know, doing that, I guess. Which my great YouTube friends, Cassie K, Gabrielle Dawn, Erica Diane, and then I have like a bunch others that but I don't want to, like, exclude anybody. So, you know who you are.
Yeah, Cassie, Gabby, and Erica are, like, your three main ones because they're the ones you sort of started out with.
Yeah.
But recently, she's been getting, like, more and more YouTube friends.
Michelle!
So, yeah,
we love Michelle. But, yeah, they definitely, you know, growing up and until I met them, I never really had great, like, Christian friends. And I also never felt like anybody cared about it as much as I did. I was like, I have no friends that like actually care about this.
Yeah.
And even though these friends like
kind of wanted to talk out certain issues with you.
And you know, the friends that I had like I would try to talk to them about it and like they're Christian, but they just didn't care. Like I felt like no one was ever on the same path as me, which is okay, but like no one really ever wanted to talk about it like I wanted to talk about it. And even though these friends are on the other side of the country, like they've definitely influenced me,
or they're all from ways. Like different states, they're not from like a different country.
Oh yeah, I meant the other side. I said the other side of the country.
Okay.
So yeah, great influences, and they've just kind of like inspired me to, you know, actually put in the effort. And I think that's how I started posting about it more on social media as well, because I felt more comfortable like that I not was like smart enough to post about it, but like I felt I didn't want to like teach anybody about it
like
until
your relationship
I felt
was strong enough to where you could tell
I didn't
want
to teach other people about it if I wasn't like living practicing it myself. So yeah, I've been trying to post about it more recently, and obviously like I get unfollows for it, but that's totally fine. But for the majority of it, like a lot of people have had like a positive impact from it and like support me for it. So
yeah, I think the beautiful thing about your friend group, now for me it's kind of different because this year I've been trying to pour into people I don't really know as well, or that have like different beliefs than me. And what I love about your friend group is that like you all have different beliefs and perspectives about stuff.
But yet, it's mainly the same. We're all Christian, yeah, but we obviously
you
like
whenever there's something that each other disagrees with, you're like, let's talk this out. Let's see like what
respectful and
I feel like it's really healthy to do that. Like, let's talk this out. What Bible verse did you read to make you think that this was okay?
That's definitely something to look for, like in a friendship. Even if, like, honestly, if it's a Christian friend or not, if you're having an argument or in a disagreement, if the person responds with like, I don't want to talk about it, like, I mean, that's fine if they don't want to talk about it, but if they're just, that's fine if like someone doesn't want to talk about a disagreement, but like if you're having an argument and like they're mad at you and they don't want to talk through it, that's a major red flag. But like, you know, for these friends, if we're ever having a disagreement or anything, like we'll FaceTime and talk about it, and in no way is it any like argument. Like, we're having a discussion about our different point of views, and everybody's like, oh yeah, that's so cool, like that's really interesting to hear a different point of view. And I think that's like something really important to look for in relationships, like someone that's willing not only to hear your point of view, but like actually want to learn about it, so that like, not that they can change theirs or anything, but just to respect you.
And I feel like sometimes we grow up believing things that like aren't biblically based. They're more like man-based, if you know what I'm saying. And like, we just grow up believing things either that our parents have taught us or that our church teaches us. And like Eva's friends or my friends that I'm starting to have now, we kind of like go through, wait, have we just believed this because our parents believed it, or do we believe it because the Bible says to believe it?
That's something so interesting about like, you know, different like culture, I don't want to say cultures, but like different areas where we all live, like how people like people's opinions are very different in the different areas that we live in. And it's so cool to hear like the other people's point of views. And I've definitely learned a lot through that, like, you know, learning more about different kinds of people, because, you know, it's since we're homeschooled too, it's, we aren't exposed to that many like different types
since
of
we're
people.
Homeschooled, we have no friends.
No, we aren't exposed to, like, that many different types of people, so it's really cool to, you know, actually get to learn more about another type of person. And
Yeah. Also, do you kind of want to talk about like your journey with anxiety and kind of how people in the church try to quote unquote like heal anxiety by saying like pray about it?
I love to talk about this. So about, I guess, 2 years ago, one and a half years ago, I'm just gonna have to back this whole thing up. I actually have a video about it on my channel from like a few months ago, which I explain things really well if you want to go watch it. But I started having these weird heart problems, and like I just noticed I was like anxious all the time, but I couldn't really pinpoint that it was anxiety, just because I was having so many like weird health problems come along with it. And I would have weird heart palpitations, and like the way my body responds to stress, it like, I get like physical problems.
Yeah,
like right now I never get stressed, but my body gets stressed, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like my brain, you can ask Brooke, I literally stress about nothing. It can be the most stressful situation, and
which
I
sometimes
don't,
that's like a bad thing, because
I know it is, and I'm trying to work on that.
Eva's like, she doesn't stress about anything, so like sometimes she won't care about certain things that need to be cared about.
About things.
Or like if you ask her like, oh, how do I get rid of the stress, oh I'm so stressed about this, Eva will literally just go, don't stress about it.
Brooke, that's not what I do. Okay,
sure.
So, no, the only way to like do that kind of stuff is to be blunt with it, because I've gone through so much stress and anxiety, and now that I've overcome it, like you think in the moment whenever you're stressed, oh like I'm just gonna, you know, I'm gonna get over this, like, and be kind to myself, which yeah, like definitely, you know, take care of yourself, but you have to also be like very blunt with yourself, like you were the one who is making yourself stressed. And I had to learn that a lot. But that probably sounds bad right now, but I'll just kind of get more into it about like my anxiety. But yeah, I just had all these health problems, and you probably remember this, but whenever we shared a room at night, I couldn't sleep because I would get this brain fog, and I literally, like, it was almost like my brain would like almost go dead, but not like in a I need to go to the hospital
like I'm
way.
In a coma.
Yeah, it's like I could remember things, but I could, it was like literally the definition of brain fog. Like my, I can remember things, but my brain is foggy. I can't actually see them. Like I remember I would just stay up some nights and like try to remember things. And that sounds so scary. I'd be like, I need to remember these. Like I would try to remember things from my childhood and I would name all of my, like I would name people at church to see if I could remember people. That sounds so scary, and it was. I remember
also, like, you got really stressed, and you, like, talked to me about it, and I kind of wish I would have reacted differently, because at the time, now that I think about it, I don't really think I helped you at all.
Yeah, honestly, no one cared, which made me stronger, I guess.
Because I was like, I mean, she's kind of young. I don't really think she'd go through that. I didn't understand what anxiety was at the time, and so she would come to me, and she'd be like, I just feel like I'm not living in my life.
Yeah,
like,
I'll talk about this in a second too.
It was like an alternate reality.
It was not what it's called, but this is another side effect of anxiety, which I didn't even know was a thing until like I started experiencing it. So I looked it up and I was like, how is this a thing? I've been experiencing this for like a whole year, and I forgot exactly what it's called just because I haven't experienced it in so long. But the literal like worst thing that you can I'm not gonna say the worst thing that you can live through, but like mentally the most draining thing. So basically, I don't know how to describe it to someone who hasn't felt it, but it's like you're living, but you're not in your own body. It sounds so weird, but like my days,
like you felt like a soul but not like a person.
I felt like I was dreaming 24/7. Like if I would tap myself, like it wouldn't feel like I was me. I was just dreaming, you know, like in dreams. It's like you're like living in your dream, but you're like not there.
You're like you, but you don't think that you're
and everything is just foggy, and like it legitimately, everything felt like a dream. And it was scary because like, am I some days I'd be like, am I in a dream? And I just like don't know it.
Or am I like dead and I'm just sleeping?
Or am I
and
like dead? So it's really weird, and it sounds like psycho to say, like, unless you have experienced it. But I didn't even know what it was. I didn't know that it was a side effect of anxiety until I figured out that it was. And apparently, like, a lot of people have it, too. But it's basically, like, your brain just can't comprehend things. So then it's, like, not goes on lockdown. But, it just felt like I wasn't ever present. Like, everything outside was just, like, faded, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it would make her, like, really jittery, too.
Yeah,
that's another, physical thing.
My anxiety had, like, so many effects. My limbs would go numb. And, you know, the list goes on of weird symptoms that I had.
So, like, coming to find out, almost all of these little health problems that she was having
were,
like,
I thought
just
that,
from anxiety.
Yeah, I thought that something
But she thought,
was,
like, her body was, like, dying.
Well, I was having, like, really weird heart problems. Like I would, one morning I woke up and like woke up, hadn't even moved, and my heart rate was I think like 180, which if you don't know, resting like normal heartbeat should be 70 beats per minute. And so that was really weird, and we were like, okay, that's weird. Well, it kept doing it. And so, like, a week later, we went to the doctor because we thought something was wrong with my heart. And then I actually wore a, like, heart monitor for a month, I think. And they...
And, she had to press this little button whenever her heart would, like, do the little fast beating thing.
Yeah, I had to carry around this little, like, heart phone and tap, like, what was wrong with me. But...
heart phone.
No. And we got our results back, and they were like, there's literally nothing wrong with your heart. This is weird. And so we went to the doctor.
Did that make you more worried, too? Because you were like, they can't figure out what's wrong, but I know something is wrong.
Yeah. Well, I think it made me more relieved because my anxiety, I forgot what it's called. It has a name, but it was triggered by, like, thinking I had health problems, which made it so much worse because I was having health problems because of my anxiety. So it was just like this big circle. And so we went to the doctor like a few weeks after that to talk about like what else it could be. And I just kind of talked about it. She was like, you might have anxiety. So I filled out this worksheet and whatever, and it wasn't therapy or anything. we just kind of talked about it. And so come to find out, it was all being caused by anxiety. So I didn't go on meds or anything. Honestly, I knew that I needed them, but I didn't think anybody knew it was severe as it was. So I definitely could have used meds, but it's not that anybody didn't care, just no one knew how bad it was. It was like really bad. And so it went on like that for like a year. It was horrible. And I remember, like, in that moment, whenever I was living through it, I can now say that eighth grade was, like, the worst year of my life because of this experience. And I can still say that. I mean, I haven't lived for that long, but I can definitely say that was, like, the worst year or time that I've ever been through. And I guess now we'll skip back and make it happy again about, like, how I got over it and stuff. So 2020 was definitely, like, obviously we didn't really do anything this year because we're very, like, COVID, like,
yeah, we have a lot of relatives that are very high risk. Yeah. Like, our grandpa has epilepsy and diabetes and, like, high blood pressure. Yeah, so, and then everybody else has, like, diabetes as well and, like, high blood pressure.
We're very careful about COVID, so we haven't really done much. So obviously, like, we've been secluded from our friends, and
it's not been fun because I wish I could see my friends, but at the same time, I was talking about this in my testimony, my intro video or intro episode, that, like, not seeing friends has made me spend time with myself and realize, like, the parts of myself that I probably needed to change. And I feel like once I get back to seeing people, I can be a better friend because I'm better to myself now. Yeah. Does that make sense?
And again, like, kind of back to my YouTube friends, I literally met them at just the right time when I needed them. And so I can say that 2020 was the best year, not because I, you know, had all these great memories of doing all this fun stuff, but, like, because of how much I changed, but in a good way.
Yeah.
And
like, you lost some friends because they were like, I like you better. I liked you better before.
Yeah, I did.
You changed. But what they didn't realize is, like, before, she was feeling awful and, like, having all these side effects from her anxiety.
And, like, just wearing a mask and no one really cared about what I was going through. And so, anyway, if you, like, change in a positive way and you have a friend that doesn't like that you've changed, please, like, reconsider your friendship with them, because that's a huge red flag.
A conversation with them.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean by, you know.
Like, I wouldn't say just cut them out and, like, never talk to them.
I don't agree with cutting friends off.
Yeah, I don't either. But, like, well, I do if they're just toxic, and even if you let
think
them,
that,
like,
you should
the
be
slightest
mean
bit
to
into
them,
your life,
like,
oh yeah,
cut
yeah.
them off, but you can get rid of friends, but don't, like, don't just, like, fully cut them off, because that doesn't help on either side. But anyway, back to the story. I honestly don't even know what happened, but, like, as soon as I started growing my relationship with God, it just, like, I don't even, because I know for mental illness, it can't necessarily just magically go away, but it literally did. I can't pinpoint when it happened. I think it was May, because I know I still had it in February, March, April, I don't know.
March.
April. April.
May.
June.
July.
Bringing them back up again, like, I genuinely think it was my YouTube friends that, because I met them at the time when I remember it just went away. So growing my relationship with God and finding, like, genuine friends.
I think it's, like, an important thing to note as well, and we kind of talked about this already, but mental illness, such as, like, depression, anxiety, all these different things you may be going through, God can answer your prayers, but you should take care of your mental health as well as you take care of, like, your physical health. Like, if you have high blood pressure, you can pray that God would take it away, and it might, like, lower a little bit, but you still might have high blood pressure, so you still need to take that medication. And the same thing goes with mental health. Like, you can become a Christian, but that doesn't mean your mental health is gonna, like, immediately be awesome.
Yeah. Once I finish talking about my experience with anxiety, I'll talk about, like, how to go about having it, if that makes sense, from what I learned while I was having it, and how to, like, help your friends if they have it. But anyway, I don't really know what happened. It just kind of, once I started growing my relationship with God, it just kind of dissolved. And it was weird because I never would have thought that that would happen just because of how bad it was. And don't expect to become a Christian and make your mental illness go away, because that's definitely not the case most of the time. It just so happened that it did for me. And so, yeah, I don't know. I think the thing about 2020 for me was that, like, since we couldn't see our friends or anything, I think sometimes, like, God makes us lonely so that we can, you know, look to Him. Like, sometimes, you know, yeah, if we're completely lonely, it's because God takes people out of our lives because, like, there's no other way that we're going to look to Him. And I think that He definitely did that. But, you know, 2020 was probably lonely for a lot of people, and it just, like, for some people could have just been God's way of saying, like, hey, you're pouring too much of your time to other people. Here's, like, I'm gonna do this so that you can't really do that anymore. So that was positive.
If you've been listening, you know that I love Annie Downs, and Eva can testify to this. Like, we literally, one time we went to Nashville and we went to Annie Downs's church so that, like, I might could be able to see her.
Didn't happen.
But I love her so much. But anyhow, like, she was talking about in one of her podcasts how 2020 was, like, the year that she grew closest in her relationship with God, like, than the other years in her life. And I kind of think that's true with a lot of people. Like, Mom was talking to me about that, how that's kind of true for her. And I know it's true for me, and you said it was true for you. Mm-hmm. Like, 2020 was kind of one of the years that you just had to focus on, like, self. Focus on God and how you kind of neglected Him, you know?
Well, see, since...
Because you placed, like, Him, like, less than friends, or less than, like, eating out with people, or less than, like, the working or whatever. And then that kind of all just got thrown out the window.
Yeah, it gave good perspective because, like, you know, before quarantine or whatever, we wouldn't always have time to make, you know, to read our Bible. And then once everything shut down...
We wouldn't always make time.
Yeah. But once everything shut down, you know, you're kind of forced to be bored, I guess. And Yeah. And it just kind of, like, gave perspective on what your, what your priorities are, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think it was a good reset for a lot of people. I mean, it was definitely, like, a stressful year, but for me personally, it was a really good, like, reset. And also, I am not a homebody whatsoever. Like, I love going out. I love, like, not being home.
Go anywhere but home.
Yeah, well, that's home is how good sometimes, work. Like, if you want to rest. But I love, you know, I love going out and doing fun things. And so I was not whatsoever happy about quarantine. But now looking back, I wouldn't, like, have changed it. But, yeah, for those of you who, like, are struggling with mental health or whatever, you're definitely not the only one. And, like, I know from personal experience, like, in the moment, you feel like there is legitimately no escape. You're like, either I'm just gonna live with this forever or it's gonna kill me. I never, like, had thoughts of hurting myself or anything just because I'm not that type of person. But I felt like the anxiety was going to kill me. Not like I was going to hurt myself or anything. But I thought that, like, all these health problems and, like, I thought my brain couldn't take my anxiety and I would just, like, die from it. And it's so
Because you know
scary.
How, like, I mean, I know anxiety is different from stress and depression is different from being sad. That is obviously, like, they're two different things. But you know how, like, when you're stressed, like, your head, like, fizzes?
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of how, like, anxiety is? Yeah, it's like you can't focus because, like, you're so stressed and that's all you can think about. And
also, just to clarify, I have never been depressed or anything like that, so I don't know how that feels like. But I think if you experience one, then you feel for the other, even if you don't, like, understand it or have experienced it. You definitely,
they're not,
like,
the same thing, but they're in the same area.
Yeah, they're not at all the same thing, but, you know, they're both mental illness, and I think you can just kind of feel for the other side because you know, like, how horrible it is with either one. But yeah, just, like, it's so horrible in the moment and you feel like you're never gonna get out of it or, like, there's no escape to it. And that's what I thought, and a lot of people feel that way, I know. And for some people, it might never go away. Like, for me, it, like, completely went away. I can't even remember the last time I was anxious or stressed, which is something very rare that I'm very thankful for. But, you know, for some people, it won't just go away like that. And so you have to learn to not only like train your mind, but how to go about doing it. Because I know that's where I messed up a lot whenever I had it. I didn't really know how to respond to it because I just didn't respond to it well. I was like, oh, I'm anxious. I'm never going to get out of this. Da, 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 da. Overthinking literally everything. But something that helped me get out of it, I was like, I made it a daily effort to train my mind. Like, if I had an anxious thought, I would completely, like, just shut it down. And you can't, you know, whatever, magically make them disappear. But, like, you are bigger than your mental illness. And that sounds kind of cliche or whatever, but I remember our dad used to like deal with depression. So I was talking to him about like what I was feeling, and he told me, and I like kept it with me. He told me that like you are the one that's in control of your mind, and you don't feel it in the moment because you're like, this anxiety is taking over, like it's in my whole body, whatever. But like you can control that. Like I know mental illness, like you can't just shut it down, but you can control how you go about doing it. Like you're bigger than like your sadness, or you're bigger than your anxiety or your depression. Like, so you,
and I would also say, like, don't be afraid to go get help or medication, or because like even though Eva's got completely fixed, that doesn't mean yours will be.
Yeah, that's so, what I said,
just don't be afraid to go get help or get medication or talk to a friend or talk to your parents, or if you can't like drive anywhere, or if your parents aren't willing to pay for counseling or medication, then you can reach out to me on the podcast Instagram page, and we could connect there, or you could reach out to Eva. She could also talk to you. So I'll be sure to link both of our Instagrams and also our websites or YouTube channels or whatever. Yeah. And we will love to talk to you guys about it.
Going back to what I was saying about how I like shut it down is what I was kind of saying a minute ago, like being brutally honest with your brain, like saying, getting one anxious thought and being like, no, you like, for me, whenever, for the majority of my anxiety, I didn't know how to handle it, so I kind of just let it take over. Like, I would get an anxious feeling, and then I would just go into attack because I didn't know how to shut it down. But if you get, like, one anxious thought that you think could trigger an anxiety attack, you literally just had to be like, no, like, I'm bigger than this, and I'm not gonna handle this today. And you almost had to be, like, mean to your brain. Like, obviously, you know, be nice to your mind, whatever, blah, blah. But you do have to be brutal and not like scare yourself or make yourself feel bad about it, but you have to be like, no, I'm not doing this today. I'm bigger than this. I'm in control of this. And then just like pray about it. And that's definitely what helped me to like shut down just those, because usually for my attacks, I don't know how it is about anybody else, but it would start with like a thought, and then it just triggered it. So if you have that thought, you have to attack the thought before it attacks you.
Oh,
you should,
oh.
Like, you should make that like a quote.
I'm gonna put that on the Instagram page, like make a little graphic out of it, and be like, you have to attack the thought.
Yes, so you have to attack the thought before the thought attacks you. Oh, I never thought of that. Okay, that just came to me, but wow.
Inspirational so, queen.
I know. Wow. So, yeah, there's my advice for you, but that's enough talking about mental illness.
Yeah.
We'll probably do a whole nother episode on it someday, so.
Yeah.
But now we'll just talk
another
about YouTube.
Another thing I was going to ask you, and it's not directly related to YouTube either, but it's more just like a personal thing. I know we've kind of already hit on anxiety, which is not YouTube, but how do you personally grow closer to God or hear like God's voice in your life? Do you like to journal, or do you listen to music, or do you like read one chapter of the Bible and really study it, or do you read 10 chapters of the Bible and really study it? Like, grow in your relationship with God for those people that like don't know?
Yeah, but it's probably like all of the above, I guess. It all contributes to it, but for me, it was definitely music, and not only listening to music. Sounds cringy, but like I would like write songs like about like worship songs. I don't think I've played them for anybody before, but sometimes things just pop into my head and I'm like, wow, that sounds cool. So then I make it into a song. And remember, I have two of my worship songs on my channel, the dude that I played for you.
The Father of My Soul.
No, I renamed it. Yeah, I made that when I was like 9.
Wait,
but
what did
I
you rename it?
I changed the lyrics and it's actually good now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she made one called The Father of My Soul, and it was a really, like, cute little song, but for some reason, yeah, one honestly, of the lyrics in it sounded weird to me, and I was like, that is...
Yeah, but I wrote this song when I was literally, what, 9, 10? But it's, like, low-key really good. If I redid it now with my guitar...
We should submit it to Bethel or Elevation or
honestly,
something.
Honestly, guys, them play it. I should just get my guitar and try to make it, like, good.
Going back to your YouTube channel and stuff, I know you said you published, like, a video on there. So how do you express your creativity through YouTube?
I'm a very creative person, and I've talked to Brooke about this before. I literally don't know what I want to go to college for, if I even want to go to college, because everything I want to do, it's, like, it's not quite a college degree. It's, like, graphic design, cosmetology.
Yeah, you're more like an influencer type of person.
Yeah. Just something like that. And so, well, obviously, you know, my dream is to move to London and...
My dream is to get a record deal. Remember that?
No.
Eva made a video where she goes, my dream is to get a record deal.
This
and
was
she
like, had, like when I was 5, keep in mind.
I'm going to release the video on the podcast Instagram page.
But anyway, my dream is to move to London and open a coffee shop, which sounds awfully childish, but that's what dreams are for.
Yeah, it's because she has a crush on Louis Partridge, and he's literally, like, from London, I think.
But
maybe.
I want to go to anywhere in, like, Italy, Europe. I'm just so fascinated with, like, the architecture.
Yeah, she really does.
I
every
love
day she sends me, like,
yeah,
pictures of, like, little London
places,
storefronts.
Yeah,
and she's like, oh, look at how cute this one is.
And it's not only like,
and she's
London,
like, imagine us opening a coffee shop here. I'm like, no.
Yeah, London's preferred just because Louis Partridge is in London, but any
it's whatever. It's just
I'm not
whatever.
Like other girls.
Not like other girls. Louis, if you're listening to this, give her a chance.
Anyway, but it's not like any Italy, like just the architecture of, like, you know, the palaces and, like, the old, like, 1800s. Love it.
I love it. So yeah,
so if
any
someone
of you
wants
are, like,
to make a donation,
rich,
feel free to Venmo
Meghan
me.
Markle or Harry. I know you kind of left, but if you're listening to this, connect us with, like, the British royal family. That way they could buy us, like, a storefront in London.
Someone wants to move to, like, London or Italy with me, feel free to DM me, and I will consider.
But you will be background checked by me and personally interviewed by me before I will let you go to
or
London.
Or one of those Greece, those, like, Greece hillside countries.
I love, like, the beach, but I also love the mountains, and I feel like Greece would be, like, perfect.
Yeah, I like
because
the beach.
It has, like, the little hilltops, but then also has the beach. I would,
but
it'd
I,
be, like, the perfect place.
I like
place.
The city. Like, there's just something about London and just places like that because it's city, but it's, like, cool.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
Go cool.
But it's not, like, you know, new big skyscraper cities like it is in the U.S.
Yeah, it's just, like quaint.
It's, like, old, you know, cool, like...
Like, refurbished old. Not, like, old as in, like, Paul Getty's house.
No, like, 1800s, like, you know, extravagant, like, architectural,
I see what you're saying.
And that has always fascinated me. Also, this is so off topic and random, but another thing that if I could do this as my job, I would love to. Would you like to say what it is?
I have no... Like, a coffee shop?
No. Astronaut.
Oh, yeah. Eva loves, like, astronaut
would,
stuff. Like, space. She'll watch tons
if,
of,
like,
videos on it.
Safety and smarts did not play a factor in job, then I would 1,000,000% be an astronaut. I love the sky.
Eva literally just roasted
stars.
Her own self. She literally goes, I am not smart to be an astronaut.
Well, I mean, I'll admit it. I'm not smart enough to be an astronaut. But if I could be an astronaut, I would kill to because I love sunsets, clouds, stars.
We have to get back to topic.
Sorry.
She could talk about, like, stars.
I'm very
for,
passionate
like,
about London
hours.
And the sky.
So yeah.
So there's my
just
two things.
End point. She likes London and she likes the sky and she likes the stars. Okay, let's move on. Kind of what I was hoping to go for with this podcast was more about YouTube. But I feel like it's
I'm
like three quarters anxiety.
That, you know?
So the rest is going to be primarily about YouTube. But what are the best and worst parts of having a YouTube channel for you or for, like, all YouTube creators? What would you say?
Well, I don't want to talk on behalf of all YouTubers, but I'll just kind of take a guess at it. Best part is editing a video for a really long time and just like playing it at the end and just loving how it turns out and like knowing how much work you put into it and like, you know, how great it's gonna be. And then, you know, after publishing that, like reading all the comments of people who love it too and not in a prideful way, but you know what I mean. And then worst parts, and I said this before, but for most people it would probably be like hate, but I could not care less about hate comments, and I don't get that many, but you know, just people who like say weird things. It doesn't faze me or bother me at all, so I don't really know what a worst part is. I think probably worst part is how long it takes to edit. And then people, if you don't post for like 2 weeks, people are like, oh my goodness, I miss you so much.
Yeah, like the consistency.
Yeah, your videos make me so happy and I just like, I want you to upload. And it's stressful because you feel like you're almost letting these people down by not uploading. But like they don't, and you can't blame them, but they don't know how much work is put into a video. Like it's a lot. And it's more stressful than people, you know, take time to consider. And sometimes people are like low-key rude, and I don't want to talk bad because these people are the people who like are supporting me and, you know, giving me the ability to make videos. But sometimes people are just kind of disrespectful because they don't realize how much work is put into a video. And like I said, if you don't have a channel, then you don't know, so you can't really blame them. But
I say the same goes for like TikTok creators. Or, yeah, I mean, even though the videos aren't nearly as long, but like TikTok takes like so much out of you. But like,
oh, also
TikTok creators, Instagram creators, you all, YouTube creators, you all have to have consistency or else people are going to cancel you, you know?
Oh,
which
yeah.
stinks, because cancel culture is so bad.
That's another thing that's bad about YouTube is like cancel culture and just people being weird.
So actually, I was explaining this to Dad the other day. The older generation does not know what cancel culture is. So would you like to kind of
I think anybody who's going to be listening to this, like Gen Z, is going to know what cancel culture is, but I haven't actually been quote unquote canceled, obviously, like little girl with 12,000 subscribers, like, you know, it's usually more typical for like TikTok or some sort to get canceled. But I have had like people make really weird assumptions like about my political views, and they'll spam comments like spam.
I've seen that on like your page, like to get like political or anything, but I've seen people comment on your page like, guys, Eva voted for Trump, or guys, Eva voted for Biden, and I'm like, she can't even vote. Like that doesn't even make any sense.
It's so funny because people, like, I don't share my political view, like who I support or whatever, on social media, but these people, I've had this happen like a couple of times. These people will literally go to other people's accounts and comment, Eva Grace supports da da da, or Eva Grace believes in da da da, and it's like, what do you do about that? Because these people are gonna believe it, and then and so I mean, I just had a DM
and
them,
then they'll cancel you without checking with you first, you know?
Yeah, and so that's a really big frustrating part, and I guess it's just gonna get worse as I get bigger. But you have to know how to respond to that. So I just DM them and be like, hey, this is really disrespectful. I would, you know.
And didn't you say, like, a lot of times they're like, OMG, I love you.
Yes.
And it, like, makes no sense.
Word. Every time somebody, like, says something mean, and this goes for all my YouTube friends as well, someone will, like, put in, like, a really horrible hate comment, and then you'll respond and be like, this was really disrespectful, I'm gonna delete your comment. They say, OMG, I love your videos, you're my favorite person, heart, heart, I didn't mean it, I'm so sorry. And it's like,
and you're like, why did you comment that in the first place? So if you're listening and you're one of those people, then
don't, like, what is the point of that?
What are you benefiting
another thing, every single time somebody puts a hate comment, they go, no hate, but, like, yes, it is hate. They'll be like, no hate, but you're
or
the
like,
ugliest
no
person
offense,
ever.
But.
Yeah, like, don't even do that.
Yeah. Just, I feel like anytime people say, like,
no offense, but,
or I love you, but, or I agree with you, but, like, they're not actually agreeing with you, or
they're just criticizing.
They're just like criticizing without like,
hey,
like trying to correct it and make it open.
Like, that's not just for haters. That's like friends too. If they're like, I'm being honest with you, but I've experienced that.
Yes.
People saying like, I'm being honest with you, and like, I wish you the best, but you are getting on my nerves.
Like,
yeah, tell me if I'm getting on your nerves. But, like, you know, don't say, I don't want this to hurt your feelings, but, and then proceed to, like, say the rudest thing ever. Yeah. Like, that makes no sense. Just be brutally honest with me and don't, like, try to wear a mask.
Because I feel like sometimes those hurt more than people just saying, I don't like you. You know? Yeah,
like, don't try to cover up you being a toxic friend. Like,
yeah,
don't pretend like you're not trying to be mean to me. Just be mean, and then that's, like, I could care less if someone just said something, like, fine, you know, you can think what you want to, but if you're, like, don't be mad at me, or, like, I love you so much, but, like, don't do that.
So, I guess that's kind of, like, the worst part, too, of having a YouTube channel, because you have people assume things about you that aren't even true, and then other people believe that assumption that they had, and it's not even a true thing, or you never even said it, you know?
Another thing is, like, people misinterpreting things that you do. Also, just clarifying, this is not, like, us complaining, or, like, me complaining or being ungrateful about the people that I have. We're just, like, chatting about the highs and lows of YouTube, so I appreciate every person.
Don't misinterpret. Hate, comment,
or not. I appreciate every person, hate, comment, or not, who, you know, watches my videos, but, you know, it's
respect them and respect yourself. Don't go down as, like, a person that just spread false rumors about other people, and don't
be the one that's lives,
making, like, people think bad things about other people. So
a lot of times people are like, oh, this YouTuber, like, whatever, but we're literal people, and that's, you know, a lot of times people think that about celebrities, like, they aren't actual people, they're, like, famous, so that's kind of not as typical to see in, you know, like, a small YouTuber, but people don't realize you are an actual human. Like, you'll respond to a message or a DM and they're like, I can't believe you responded, this is the best day of my life, I'm crying. It's like, it's so weird to react, like, you don't know what to say, because, like, yeah, they're being really sweet, but it's like, I'm just a normal, like, I'm no different than you.
Do you have anything else that you want to say, or that you want to ask me, or, I don't know, something that you want to tell your fans, or something that you want to tell people your age?
Just to wrap up the episode, make sure that you are checking in on your friends, even if you don't think they have mental illness, they might, because it sucks to be on the other side of that.
And don't be like me and think that young people don't suffer with depression or anxiety,
because I think that they're and sometimes it's the people that you literally wouldn't expect it from. And so just make sure and check in on your friends, and, you know, don't neglect their mental health, because it's literally, like, horrible to be on the other side of that and feel like nobody cares about what you're dealing with. So just be there for your friends, and don't be a hateful person on social media, and just don't, you know,
or don't be a hypocrite.
Yeah, don't be a hypocrite.
Don't call people don't out on things that you struggle with yourself. Or
everybody has their own set of struggles.
I think mom told me this one time, where I was like, Christians call out the sins in other people that they don't struggle with themselves. So if you don't struggle with a sin yourself, then don't be so quick to call it out.
Also, for social media, every sin is equal, so don't point out your neighbor for doing something if you're doing something just as bad, because judging is just as bad as the sin that the other person is committing. So just make sure that you're taking the block out of your own eye before you're looking at it in someone else's.
Yeah, looking at the splinter in
the
somebody
splinter,
else's.
Yeah, whatever the verse is. Okay.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening to the episode, and if you liked what you heard today, please be sure to leave a rating and a review, and subscribe to the podcast, and stay tuned for future episodes, and download the episodes. It helps out so much. So, Eva, thank you for joining me today. Thank you for this conversation. I think people will be able to learn a lot from it, and it will encourage a lot of people, help people understand what it's like to be a YouTuber, and also help people understand that they're not alone with mental illness. So, yeah, so, I think that is all we have for you guys.
If you liked me, then follow my Instagram, of course.
Yep, follow Eva's socials, follow Eva's YouTube channel. I'll link them all in the show show notes. So
do what she says so that I can fulfill my dream.
Do you have,
of
like, a consistent YouTube schedule?
No, I don't. I upload when
about
I feel
to say,
like it.
Do you upload like every Thursday or something?
Nope. Those I get a lot of people say that I need to, but I'm not that type of person. I don't like I don't.
Going back, Eva's pretty chill.
I'm so chill.
Yeah. She's not gonna worry about that.
Yeah.
Okay, Eva, thank you for joining us today.
Welcome. Bye.
Bye, guys.